This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
A good morning to you from a cold and wet Israel. Winter has arrived.
Well, welcome, and you do need the rain, so that is great news. But what a week it was in Israel. Not for sissies.
Not for sissies. Definitely a very, very difficult and emotionally wrenching week here in Israel.
Give us some context. What are we talking about?
So let's take a look at the two biggest events of the week. And the first is the terror attacks in Jerusalem that happened on Wednesday morning. These were extremely well-planned attacks carried out by what is believed to be an act of cell. There is still a manhunt underway. It hasn't been made public who is responsible, if in fact any group has accepted responsibility. We do know that there have been theories put out there by the Hebrew-speaking media that maybe it could be Daesh or ISIS, as they are known in English. But very, very well coordinated when two bags containing bombs packed with shrapnel, with ball bearings, were placed at bus stops. One very close to the entrance of Jerusalem, just coming off the one, and the other at the Ramot Junction. Now, this takes us back to probably one of the most painful times in Israeli history, the Intifada, where buses were blowing up on a regular basis. I just want to reiterate, it was not a bus that blew up. It was a bag containing a bomb, and it killed 16-year-old Canadian Israeli student Ariesh Chopek. He was buried later that day, and 19 others remain injured, one of them still in critical condition. Yesterday as well, one attempted terror attack being stopped by the Shabak, saying that they had caught a worker coming into Israel on a work permit from the Gaza Strip, planting a bomb, also with the intentions of either blowing up a bus or a bus stop. And the other was a car ramming in Be'er Sheva. An 18-year-old was injured. He is in Soroka Hospital. At the time, we weren't sure if it was an accident or if it was a terror attack. It has been confirmed to have been a terror attack. And then just the horrific, horrific story of Tilan Afero, a 17-year-old Druze student that was in a car accident in Jenin. He was in hospital. He was hooked up to ventilators and life-saving medical equipment when Palestinian gunmen burst into the hospital, and in front of his absolute distraught family, unhooked him from the machines, kidnapped him, and held him for ransom. They wanted the release of Palestinian prisoners who are in Israeli jails. And we don't know all the delicate maneuverings. We do have some indication this morning coming in from the Times of Israel via Walla. But a very, very delicate operation to try and rescue him. We know that he was eventually in possession of the Palestinian Authority. And then after the IDF threatened to go in on a wide-scale operation, and the Druze community threatened to storm Jenin, they meant business, he eventually was released yesterday to his family. His funeral was yesterday afternoon, and what makes it even more just heart-wrenching is the fact that yesterday would have been his 18th birthday.
What's also quite amazing about this is there's very little indication as to whether, in fact, it was a murder or if they kidnapped his body. I mean, when you're talking about the fact that he was disconnected from his, from the machinery, all of that, that indicates the fact that he was murdered. And yet there is absolutely no reporting of this outside of Israel.
It's just absolutely, to me, unfathomable. In my opinion, it is murder. It's cold-blooded murder. He was alive when he was taken from the hospital. And to me, it's just absolutely astounding that we have not heard a peep from the international media. We haven't heard a peep from the human rights organizations. We haven't heard a peep coming from people like Francesca Albanese, who is very quick to criticize Israel. Ken Roth, ex of Human Rights Watch, very quick to criticize Israel. But the fact that an Israeli citizen, because it was initially thought that he could have been a soldier. He wasn't a soldier. He was a student. That an Israeli citizen in ICU, in intensive care, in a hospital, is kidnapped like this, it just shows you that, you know, are we even safe in a hospital bed? And not a peep from the international community, and in this I include ambassadors. Yes, they came out in their vast numbers, including the foreign minister of Australia, the prime minister of Canada, foreign ministers, prime ministers, EU representatives condemning the terror attack in Jerusalem, as they should have, and saying, you know, we resolutely stand with the state of Israel against terrorism. What do you call the kidnapping of an 18-year-old boy fighting for his life in a hospital bed in front of his family?
No, it's just astounding. And if you look at, and I'm not saying we should compare and whataboutism and all of that, but if you look at the comparative coverage over a journalist who willingly chose to be in, and knowingly chose to be in a war zone, in a area of conflict, gets killed in that, you know, you look at that coverage versus a teenager snatched from his hospital bed, died, and then the body held for ransom, and really not so much as international recognition about the story.
No international recognition, and we know that the United Nations and that US officials were also involved now with trying to intercede with Palestinian Islamic Jihad and the Palestinian Authority to release the body. I mean, the fact that it actually got to that stage should tell you everything you need to know about where we stand with trying to talk about peace with our Palestinian neighbors.
Absolutely, quite unbelievable. Let's also talk about Qatar. What is the what's happening with Israeli journalists in Qatar?
Well, to me, this World Cup has been less about the beautiful game and more about the absolutely shambolic treatment of Israeli journalists. Now, we have had a couple of incidents throughout the week where Israeli journalists have been reporting live, and Palestinian supporters, maybe they're Qatari, maybe they're from other Arab states, have been standing behind them, waving flags, saying, yalla, yalla, you know, go home, Israeli journalists, or yalla, yalla, free Palestine. We've seen Qataris walking through the streets wearing Palestinian flag armbands, trying to hand them out to spectators who are coming to watch the various games. Some of the Israeli reporters on the ground, they're saying that Arab spectators from friendly states are willing to engage with them. And by that, I'm sure they mean Emiratis, Bahrainis who might be on the ground there. But yesterday, a reporter, Dor Hoffman, reporting live for Channel 11, said that, you know, that I went into a restaurant. They kicked me out of the restaurant. The owner of the restaurant took my phone and deleted all the pictures of Qatar. The taxi that I tried to get into refused to let us ride. And some of the Arabs that are there, and again, we are assuming not from friendly countries like the UAE or Bahrain, are getting angry and refuse to talk to them. I mean, the fact that FIFA have awarded this World Cup, which is an absolute human rights shambles, to Qatar is beyond comprehension to me.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, it would actually go without incident. Everybody would pretend for the couple of weeks of the World Cup, but it doesn't seem that way. We're seeing Israelis harassed. We're seeing the alcohol issue. We're seeing the gay pride and any form of gay pride being prohibited. It's just an incredible thing. I saw a British fan was stopped. I think he dressed up as one of the Crusaders or something like that for the match, and he was stopped from entering the stadium because they said it's offensive to Muslim culture, which it might or might not be. I've got no idea. But this is an ongoing thing. You can't wear a T-shirt that indicates something that they don't like, and yet they're handing out armbands with you know, Palestinian flags on them. It's really just an appalling. It sounds like just a very unpleasant place to be.
It sounds you know, so much for the spirit of sportsmanship and brotherhood,
the beautiful game,
and the beautiful game, which is what this whole event is supposed to be about. We've had the incredibly courageous Iranian football team refusing to sing their national anthem in protest to what is going on inside Iran. Of course, I think I speak for all of us where we get chills just imagining what the situation will be for them when they return to Iranian soil. This morning, news reporting one Iranian soccer player or football player has already been arrested and accused of spreading propaganda. Jews not being allowed to hold prayer services in Qatar. It's absolutely appalling.
It really, really is. And talking about Iran and talking about appalling, there's been a lot going on this week as well with Iran, cyber attacks on Israel, comments and a general escalation of some of the rhetoric while South Africa entertains their foreign minister. Just explain this. What's happening here?
Well, not only is South Africa going to be entertaining the Iranian foreign minister, but he arrives on the 28th of November, and it's what very, very important time is it? It's the 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children. South Africa that entrenches the rights of women in the constitution, that has these formidable women's organizations who, by the way, haven't said a peep about it. South Africa, who many have looked to in the past, we can't say now because of the alliances with regimes like Iran, with Russia, who has invaded
Cuba.
Ukraine, with Cuba, with Venezuela, with the terror entities within the Palestinians, you know, recognizing Hamas as a legal representation of the Palestinian people, allowing the Iranian foreign minister during these 16 days of activism against violence against women and children, especially in light of the horrific statistics of gender-based violence and rape in South Africa, and as a show of utter disrespect to the people of Iran who are protesting the brutal murder of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini by the morality police, is absolutely astoundingly appalling. Yesterday, the United Nations Human Rights Council, whether or not they exercise it, voted in favor of a fact-finding mission into Iran. It's about time. Let's see if they actually do this. And members of the UNHRC, Canada, the United Kingdom, the United States are calling for Iran to be expelled from this body. And yet South Africa is using this time to host them.
I'd love your thoughts and your reaction on that, please, on 34519 or 061-895-1019. We don't have a lot of time, Raleen, but I just wanted to get a quick update as to what is happening with coalition talks. Are we making progress there?
Apparently we are making progress, but to me it's like dancing the, what's it, the hokey cokey. You put your left, well, in this case you put your right foot in, you put your right foot out.
You put your right foot, your right arm, your extremely right arm, right, I got it.
And you take a huge step to the right.
Yeah.
We had reports several days ago that talks had absolutely fallen apart. Nobody could agree on anything. This morning, the Jerusalem Post reporting that the Otzma Yehudit only could have reached some kind of agreement. Apparently, Itamar Ben-Gvir will serve as national security minister, which is kind of a version of a public security minister. This is the ministry that he's wanted. Bezalel Smotrich has been told in uncertain terms he will not get that defense ministry. There is a possibility he could get the finance ministry or the education ministry. But this is what is being reported. However, it's just the Jerusalem Post reporting this. We don't have anything finally concluded. You know, until the government is completely agreed upon and sworn in, you know, the talks could still go in any direction.
And they probably will. It is about to go 8 o'clock. Raleen Marks, thank you as always. Wishing you a fantastic weekend. Keep warm. Shabbat shalom. And we'll, of course, catch you next week.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.